This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
President Donald Trump signed the 2018 Farm Bill yesterday during a White House ceremony. The five-year bill sets agriculture policy and reauthorizes farm, conservation, nutrition, rural development, agricultural trade, as well as many other programs. The legislation also removes hemp from the Controlled Substances Act, which legalizes hemp production. The Minneapolis Star Tribune says the signing is good news for farmers who have been buffeted on all sides by trade wars, low commodity prices, and generally uncertain futures. However, the question is whether those reauthorized programs will actually have funding available. A short-term spending bill has made its way through Congress this week, and initially, Trump has said he would sign it to keep the government funded until February. A CBS News report says Speaker of the House Paul Ryan met with the president and then made the announcement that Trump will not sign it. The president wants funding for a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico, which the Senate bill does not have. Ryan tells reporters, "We want to keep the government open, but we also have legitimate concerns about securing our borders." The USDA has confirmed China bought even more soybeans, 1.19 million metric tons worth. It's the biggest purchase China has made in more than a year, and the ninth largest purchase in the last 10 years. However, it has not been a big boost to soybean prices. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing told AgDay TV that it's good to see China once again in the market for U.S. soybeans. "The purchases would have had more effect on the market a few months ago because we didn't know how big the U.S. crop was, as well as the progress of South American soybeans." Nellinger said the fact that we know the answers to both of these questions has taken some of the excitement surrounding Chinese purchases out of the market. "There's a lot of soybeans still sitting out there yet to sell, both domestically and overseas, which is the biggest challenge to higher prices." Nellinger says it's great that China is buying beans again, but we've got a lot of beans around the world to still get rid of. The latest USDA report put carryover at 955 million bushels. Nellinger says it's definitely putting a lid on prices. Even if China purchases two-thirds of what USDA trimmed off expectations, there's still a carryover of about 700 million bushels. Back here at home, the Greenville Livestock Auction had their most recent sale this past Wednesday, December 19th, and there were 683 total receipts, with 586 being in cattle and 97 being in sheep and goats. Slaughter steers and heifers traded unevenly steady to $1 lower on high choice and $1 lower on low choice and selects. Holstein steers traded unevenly steady on high choice and $1 higher on choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium large 1 to 2 and $1 to $5 higher on unvaccinated, unweaned to short weaned calves and medium short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $5 to $8 higher on better cows and $3 to $5 higher on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady to $2 higher. And the folks at the Greenville Livestock Auction would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and would like you to know there will be no sale held the day after Christmas on the 26th, and the next regular sale will be resuming on January the 2nd, 2019. And you can find the full report from the auction on WSMIRadio.com. Just click on News and Information tab and find Ag News. The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is now accepting applications for certain conservation practices on agricultural land physically located within Montgomery County. Eligible practices include, but are not limited to, grassed waterways, basins, structures, cover crops, and strip till. Cost share is limited to 50% of actual cost, not to exceed approved average costs for the practice. The sign-up period will run through the month of January. And for more information, you can call the County Soil and Water Conservation District office at 532-3361 Extension 3. We're back here on your afternoon farm show, and we'll catch up with Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. Here in Part 3, we continue our discussion about the incoming changes in state leadership, as well as rumors for an increase on the state motor fuel tax.
You know, what we have to do more than anything else is really to find out, you know, what the plans are. You know, people don't understand when they collect that money, and this is just a little scenario. When the motor fuel tax is collected at the pump, you know, it's broken down. 45% of it goes to the state, and the other 54-55% goes to local units of government. People don't realize that they think it all goes to the state, but it doesn't. You know, the 45% that goes to the state, really only, you know, just part of that is used for actual construction. A lot of it goes to maintain IDOT operations and that kind of stuff. So when you look at, okay, so you're saying 54-55% of it's going to local units of government. Well, who gets it? Well, you know, half of that money goes directly to the municipalities. You know, they get the biggest chunk of that money. But then another 16-17% goes just to Cook County. And then all the other 101 counties in the state just get 18%. So people sit there and go, you mean Cook County gets all that? Yes, they do. And then 16% of that goes to the township and road districts. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people look at that and go, well, you know, depending on where you're at, you know, depending on what township you're at and road district, you know, they probably have the most miles.
And, of course, some of our rural townships may not even have a municipality in them.
Now,
some of those townships are in the worst shape for roads.
Yeah, and they really get some of the smallest piece of the pie. So, but this is all, you know, this is all decided by what they call the distribution formula. The distribution formula is set by the legislature, and each one of those parties, the townships, the road commissioners, the county highway engineers, the municipalities, the state, you know, the state aid, you know, IDOT, and that, they all protect their turf big time. So if there's ever any change to that, then it's a big legislative issue. You know, what do you tell your listeners? I think you tell your listeners, be prepared. I think we're going to see a motor fuel tax increase. Another thing, though, that I think will be discussed is in the future that we're going to index the motor fuel tax. Other states do it. Wisconsin does it, for example. Where every year the motor fuel tax is adjusted based on the rate of inflation. And that means it may go up. If the rate of inflation is 2%, then the motor fuel tax would go up 2%, which is not much in that sense. But what it does, it keeps us from having to deal with the issues we're dealing with right now. It's like withholding a motor fuel tax. And then all of a sudden things are getting bad, then you got to bump it up and stuff like that. If you index it, it's adjusted every year, and then you don't have to deal with it on an annual basis or whatever.
Because we're trying to pay with 1990 figures
exactly.
In 2018.
Wisconsin does it, you know, and it's worked fine. It solves their big problem that states have, and indexing is probably the most equitable way to go.
Talking about the last time we raised it was 1990. That shows my age. That was before I was even born.
Yeah, and see, that's just it. A lot of people sit there and, you know, I remember 1990. I remember the negotiations for it, and I remember us pretty much saying you're going to take it, and, you know, because it affected not just gasoline but diesel fuel. You know, a lot of truckers come back and say, well, you know, we understand that, you know, truckers are kind of like, well, you know, a lot of truckers, they impose what they call a surcharge on their rates. And basically it's a fuel surcharge. And it can go up and down based on U.S. Department of Energy numbers that come out every Monday. It tells you what the price of fuel is, if it's gone up or gone down the previous week. A lot of truck operators do that. I mean, if they're operating, you know, and I think anybody who uses trucks in their business or they hire trucks, they know that if they look at their bill, there's usually a diesel or a fuel surcharge on there. Fuel surcharge is, you know, it's a necessity in the industry because it's the one factor they can't control is the cost of the fuel. You know, the industry understands full well that the motor fuel tax goes up. That means the price of fuel is going to go up, then it's going to be reflected in that price.
And that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. And I'll have more from Don as we continue our conversation Monday on the Morning Farm Show right here on WSMI. And I'll remind you, you have another chance to win a $20 pork certificate, your last chance, in fact, here at 1:34 after the closing commodities right here on WSMI AM and FM. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.